Have you ever stopped and thought, you know, are there ways to grow financially that are just completely different, way beyond the usual stocks, bonds, the stuff we always hear about? What if there are paths, sort of hidden pathways, designed for much faster wealth building? Today, we're going deep. We're diving into something called private placement programs. You'll often just hear them called trades. And our mission here is really to pull back the curtain on this. It's a financial strategy most people have never heard of. We'll look at where it came from, which is quite surprising, how it actually works to generate money and, you know, the kind of impact it can have. Importantly, this is about understanding this specific financial world, not getting sidetracked by other potential outside factors or agendas, just the mechanics of trades.
Exactly. And these private placement programs or trades, they're powerful, a very potent financial engine, but yeah, incredibly private, unknown to most. So for you listening, this is a chance, really, to get up to speed quickly on a tool that, frankly, very few people even know exists. It might broaden your whole perspective on, well, on wealth.
Okay, let's definitely unpack that. How did something like this, so impactful, but so under the radar, how did it even start? The backstory must be fascinating. Can you take us back?
Oh, it really is quite a story. The absolute earliest roots go back to the early 1900s, but they really started taking a recognizable form in the 1930s. The U.S. and Switzerland were key players in developing them, and they were drawing on this unique approach to money lending and money creation that actually came from Siam.
Siam, you mean modern-day Thailand?
That's right, Thailand. Especially in the wake of the Global Depression back then. It was a novel concept they adapted.
Wow, okay. That's not what I expected. So how did big world events then take that initial idea and, well, turbocharge it into what exists now?
Right. Well, the huge shift, the real energizing moment came in 1944. I mean, think about the state of the world then.
World War II.
Yeah.
Devastation everywhere.
Exactly. Total devastation. Economies just shattered. There was this massive, urgent need to rebuild globally. So against that backdrop, in July 1944, you had the Bretton Woods Conference, about 130 top minds, economic, political, they all gathered. And the pivotal moment was when John Maynard Keynes, the famous economist, presented this really radical plan. And it was directly inspired by that earlier Siam experience. His goal wasn't just, you know, rebuilding, it was bigger. He wanted to create a financial structure and architecture that could help prevent future global conflicts on that scale.
So a tool for peace, essentially born from war.
In a way, yes. And that whole initiative, that Bretton Woods thinking, it was the blueprint for setting up these huge global financial institutions we know today, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the Bank for International Settlements, the BIS. These institutions, they now manage and operate this sophisticated financing structure that grew out of those ideas. And one of its very first and arguably most significant uses was something called the plan. This was absolutely instrumental in funding the rebuilding of Europe and actually much of Asia, too, after both World War I and World War II. So you see, these programs, they really emerged from massive global necessity, not just private financial engineering.
That history is incredibly important. It sets the stage. So these mechanisms were born from huge global needs. But let's fast forward. How does that translate today? How do these programs actually work to create money?
Right. So the fundamental concept, and it can sound a bit strange at first, is that money is created by creating debt.
Okay, hang on. Creating debt creates money.
Well, in these private placement programs, it's about trading specific types of bank-issued debt instruments. They're highly discounted. Think of things like medium-term notes or MTNs, bank guarantees, BGs, standby letters of credit, SBLCs. Imagine a major global bank issues a really solid, highly valued IOU for a future payment, a promise. These things are issued constantly, daily, in billions of dollars by the big banks, and they're offered, crucially, at discounted prices in this private market.
So buying low and selling high, but with bank debt.
Kind of, but it's more structured. The genius is how that underlying promise, that debt, becomes the basis for new liquidity, new profit, but only when it's traded within a very specific prearranged system between contracted parties. And for the banks involved, there's an interesting angle. Often this falls under what they call off-balance sheet activities.
Off-balance sheet. What does that mean practically?
It means the banks can facilitate these massive transactions and profit indirectly without it immediately hitting their main balance sheet in a way that ties up their capital reserves like normal deposits do. It gives them enormous flexibility.
Okay, so it's powerful, operates at a high level, involves major banks. Which brings us back to the big question. If it's this significant, why is it such a secret? Why haven't more people you know, heard about this.
Yeah, and that really gets to the heart of it. It's the exclusivity. It's extreme. You know, until the big financial crash in 2008, these programs were almost entirely the playground of the world's biggest corporations and certain government-related bodies, arm's-length entities, they call them. The genuine trade groups, the ones hosted by the top, tier one banks, they usually demand a minimum deposit of $100
million. $100 million. Okay, so that rules out pretty much everyone.
Exactly. Individual investors, or what they call small-cap investors, they're just typically not in this world. It's staggering. But estimates are that the trade industry is only known to about, get this, 1/100,000th of 1% of the population.
Wow. That's tiny. Virtually unknown.
Precisely. And it stays unknown because it's fundamentally a private business transaction. Huh. It operates completely outside the rules and regulations of the public stock market, the securities market. It relies entirely on trust, on long-standing private relationships, and very strict established protocols. It's nothing like the open market or the spot market you might trade stocks on. In fact, you could talk to many senior bankers in top global banks, and they might not even know about these programs.
Really? Even inside the bank?
Yeah, because it happens at a level very removed from regular branch banking or even standard investment banking. It's strictly invitation only. It's not advertised. You can't just apply.
That paints a very clear picture of the exclusivity.
Yeah.
Okay, let's shift to the practical side then. For the very few who might potentially qualify or be invited, how does someone actually participate? And what happens to their initial money, their principal? Is it safe? That's key.
Absolutely key. Client funds are actually essential. The banks and the entities holding the commitments, they aren't allowed to trade using their own money unless client funds are involved and reserved. But here's the critical point for you to understand. The client's money, their principal, it's never actually put at risk in the trading.
Never at risk? How can that be?
Because it typically sits safely in an escrow account. It acts as a kind of compensating balance, a security deposit, if you will. It's reserved, but it's not actually used in the transactions. The trading happens with leveraged funds based on that deposit.
Oh, okay. So there's leverage involved.
Yes. And it's significant. The host trading bank will loan funds to the trader against your deposit. Often it's a 10-to-1 ratio, sometimes more. So for example, if a client reserves, say, $100,000, the bank or the master trader can then leverage that and trade with $1,000,000 based on it.
Got it. And what about getting that initial principal back? How does that work?
Yeah. That process is very clearly defined and reassuring for clients. You receive 100% of your principal amount back, typically within a 90-day period after your funds officially enter the trade.
90 days. Okay.
Yes. And then after you've received your principal back in full, that's when the earnings from the trade start coming, usually about 6 weeks later.
6 weeks after the principal return. That timing is interesting. Now, you mentioned safety. The idea of a built-in fail-safe in something offering high returns sounds, well, almost too good to be true. How does arbitrage provide that safety net? Can you break that down?
Right. Arbitrage is the absolute bedrock of the safety here. These aren't speculative bets where you hope the price goes up. The transactions are done using predefined prices. The instruments are bought and then instantly resold. Yes, effectively, instantly within the process. And here's why it's virtually fail-safe. All the players involved, the buyer, the seller, sometimes several intermediaries like large financial institutions, big insurance companies, even ultra-wealthy individuals, they are all contracted beforehand. The trade program literally doesn't kick off until every single participant in that specific arbitrage chain is locked in by contract. Everyone knows their exact role, their timing, and exactly how they'll profit from their step in the chain.
So it's all prearranged. No surprises.
Precisely. Your principal, remember, is just sitting there as that compensating balance. It's not actually flowing through these transactions. It's a completely pre-engineered, risk-mitigated setup from the very start.
Okay, that makes sense. It's the pre-contracted nature that removes the market risk. Mm. Now, the question everyone's probably leaning in for, the returns, what are we actually talking about here? Especially when you compare it to the kinds of investments most of us know.
Yeah, this is where it gets really eye-opening. The difference is, well, it's stark. It's almost hard to comprehend next to traditional returns. Think about this. Morningstar data suggests a good mutual fund on average might return about 12% a year. That works out to, what, 1% a month?
Right. 1% a month sounds about right for a decent fund.
Okay. Now, contrast that. These private placement programs, specifically the builder trade program we're discussing, they are generating net returns of 19% to 38% per month.
Per month, not per year.
Per month, net to the client. And for trades involving larger principal amounts, The net monthly returns can sometimes be even higher than that range.
19 to 38% monthly. That's staggering.
It is. And to really put that into perspective, there's a comparison Forbes made that's quite powerful. They said, did you know that if you invest $100,000 in a mutual fund or the S&P 500 with an average annual return of 12%, it would take you 27 years to earn $1 million.
27 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right with compounding.
Every 5.1 years, there is a market downturn. It's a roller coaster ride, which we all know. Now, Forbes continues, if you trade with $100,000, you can earn $1 million or more within 1 to 2 years.
1 to 2 years versus 27. That really highlights the acceleration factor we were talking about. It's profound.
Yeah, it really is. The potential for accelerating wealth accumulation through these legitimate, highly structured programs is just on a completely different scale.
So if we zoom out again, connect this back to the bigger picture.
Mm.
What kind of real-world changes, what impacts can this kind of accelerated growth actually have for individuals, maybe even for organizations? It sounds potentially life-changing.
Oh, it absolutely can be. And that's really the why behind these programs for many involved. The impact is significant. Think about it. Building true multi-generational wealth, not over decades, but potentially in just 12 to 36 months.
That's incredible.
For people in real estate development, imagine funding your projects 100%. Completely without giving up equity or taking on crushing high interest debt, or entrepreneurs trying to get a business off the ground funding it without facing a lifetime burdened by debt.
Right. That's a huge barrier removed.
Absolutely. And think about charitable organizations. This allows them a path to fund their missions, their donations sustainably, moving away from that constant cycle of fundraising appeals. And, you know, for many individuals, maybe folks who didn't manage to save enough for retirement or just haven't built up that rainy day fund, these opportunities can potentially help them make up for lost time, again, within that 12 to 36 month time frame. It can genuinely foster a debt-free, less stressful life.
It sounds like a powerful tool for achieving real financial freedom then.
It can be. Now, of course, like any legitimate financial activity, especially one that's unknown, it requires careful thought. Skepticism is healthy. Due diligence is always, always recommended. The key is working with organizations that are ethical, that are reputable, and crucially, that have a proven track record of success in this very specific space. But yes, these are legitimate, structured opportunities, just operating at a level most never see.
So wrapping this up,
yeah,
what does this all mean for you listening right now? We've really gone deep into a corner of the financial world that's, well, fascinating, and for most people, totally hidden. It definitely challenges the way we usually think about growing wealth, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It shows that really profound financial growth might be possible through programs that are legitimate, structured, but just operate on a different level entirely. Makes you wonder what else might be out there operating just outside our normal view.
And that leads to the final thought, really. With this new understanding, this glimpse into private placement programs, what possibilities might you now consider for your own financial path? Remember, just knowing about something isn't enough. Knowledge is most valuable when you truly understand it and can see how it might apply.
We want to thank you for listening, and we also want to thank PlatformFundingGroup.com for sponsoring this Trades Educational Conversation.